Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to an unexpected Wednesday edition of the A&N After Show. We weren't here yesterday.
All the rules.
We are, yeah. We didn't even tell you that we were going to be here today instead of yesterday because no one has time. No one has time.
We can do what we want.
Yeah, if we can just show up, we can leave. We can RSVP and then ghost you if we want. So
I'm happy that we're doing a Wednesday stream because I haven't been able to hang. So
Jackie hasn't been able to hang because she's doing cool California acting stuff on Tuesdays right now. So
every day, oh, it's just like been crazy, but it's been fun too, so
yeah. Is there any of that you can tell us? Or
well, I mean, mainly I've been like just doing like classes like crazy. So like Tuesdays when I have scene study, I'm doing an improv intensive right now, and that has been extremely fun.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so that's like every day for 2 weeks for like 3 or 4 hours. So I've been doing that one as well. And then I've gotten 3 gigs since I've started like aggressively pursuing it. And villainous.
I'm
getting villainouses. It's really funny. Like I think I've it's an honor to get an audition, but like to actually book the job is like even bigger, you know. So I've done like a ton of auditions, but like literally every single one has been for a villainous, whether it's a witch or a like evil CEO or like the conniving cheater girlfriend. Like, I do not know what it is, but they're like, you have villainous vibes. So I'm like, okay, I'll take it. But
Yeah. Some people make like their whole careers like being the heel or like being the bad guy, you know, like.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. It was like, it's funny because like I apply for everything, but the only ones I get then were like, hey, we're interested in seeing your like audition is if it's a villainous. So I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm in a Discord group and we started watching old movies lately. Uh-huh. And one that I hadn't seen that I wanted to see is M, which is a movie.
Yeah, Fritz Lang, baby.
Yeah, Fritz Lang. So this is like 1930s, early 1930s, black and white film. It was Fritz Lang's first talkie that he had done. It was the first one with like, that actually had sound. And it has Peter Lorre in it. Now, for folks who don't like know who Peter Lorre is, I'm not surprised because this is, again, this is like a, what, like golden age of Hollywood actor. But he started out in German films. Fritz Lang's films are German. And then did eventually move on to like actual Hollywood pictures. But if you've seen Peter Lorre, you've probably seen Peter Lorre and don't know who he is because a caricature of him appears in a lot of Bugs Bunny cartoons, Looney Tunes.
Here's the thing we have to understand though, and it's gonna break my heart to tell you this. A lot of people don't watch the Looney Tunes cartoons anymore.
That's true. Okay, I guess like maybe people didn't grow up watching those like we probably did because they were just on TV at the time. If you've seen Brave Little Toaster, there's a caricature of Peter Lorre in that, only he's like a lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a swinging lamp. Anyway, he has very sort of prominent eyes in the same way like Steve Buscemi has prominent eyes. That would be like a good comparison. Good comparison. And he got typecast as villains after he made his big break in M as a serial killer in that movie. So, yeah.
I definitely knew the name. I didn't know. Yeah, I mean, now that I've seen him, oh yeah, he was in a lot. He was like always a villain, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna lean in.
Yeah, just lean into it.
Yeah. Like,
So you two could end up in Bugs Bunny cartoons, Jackie.
Yeah. I would totally be honored by that. I was gonna say the other thing I got was a meat influencer.
What?
Talking about how I had to research meat and I was super into only eating meat and I would only eat meat.
So it's sort of like, you know, like being big into keto or something like that, but like
they sent me the person they wanted me to like model, you know.
Oh, okay.
woman, and she eats 3 steaks a day. That's all she eats. Can you all imagine?
No. Yeah, like, does she supplement with, like, she has to supplement with vitamins. You're not going to get all your vitamins from steak.
She probably doesn't just eat meat every day, but yeah. That's what she claims. You know what I mean? And she's like, it's, you know, she's like.
She's one of those people that eats just like raw hamburger with pepper. That's it.
Oh, liver's so gross. But yeah, it's just like, it's been a very interesting experience. But yeah. Sent Lindsay now like to practice my acting. I've started doing anime monologues and skits, and so I recently did Queen Serenity. If anybody wants to,
yeah, you can go to Jackie's Instagram and see her reenact Queen Serenity's death from like the early episode of Sailor Moon. Her death monologue. It's very cute.
Yeah, I also did a little Luna cameo.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, she has 2 characters actually.
So I just put on cat ears and I was like, "Your Majesty." It's very cheesy. But I was like, "I'm practicing," and I got my green screen up, so it's like I'll just do one of my favorite monologues of all time. So anyway, back to anime. Transition to anime.
Yeah. So welcome to part 2 of what anime should be watching for the spring season. If you were here last week, it was just James and I. We went through most of the shows, but by that point, Kaiju number 8 had not premiered yet, and I knew we had to talk about Kaiju number 8. We also, if you go over to all of our social media channels, there's a cut version of our discussion of the Omegaverse, which we attempted to figure out live. Did you say what is the
Jackie,
Omegaverse?
You can't ask that question. You really can't.
Omegaverse.
We can't do this again.
No, we're going to do it again because the one thing I missed was Jackie's reaction to this conversation. This time
it was an all-timer.
It was. Okay. So it's a fan fiction concept. Okay. It's a fan fiction concept, usually within BL, although it's now expanded to include like, girl boy relationships too, because and it's gotten popular enough that there are actual manga that are out that are Omegaverse. So if you ever see anything that says I'm an Omega but or something, it's because they're playing in that Omegaverse space. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the Omegaverse,
Chester ready herself for
that. I do. There's an anime out the season that looks very cute. It's called Tadaima Okairi. Okay, and it's about 2 husbands, and they have a toddler, and it just seems like kind of like a cute romance series. But what makes it Omegaverse is that one of the male characters actually carried the child to term and birthed the child, because within the Omegaverse that's possible. And so James and I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how that works. And
how does that work?
We don't know. We still don't know exactly how that works.
It has kept me awake for a week. I haven't slept. I've been scribbling on whiteboards like a feverish conspiracy theorist.
Do you guys remember? Nothing makes sense. There was a man who was pregnant, wasn't there?
Well, I think that was a trans man who didn't have surgery. So they he still had, you know, ovaries and whatnot, and then got pregnant that way.
Oh, okay. Because, like, honestly, I think the story came out when I was, like, a kid, Lindsay. Do you remember?
Yeah, that? I remember. Oh, yeah. There was a lot of media around it when it happened.
So I didn't know the particulars of it. I just remember, honestly, seeing it, like, I think on a newspaper.
In the case of Omegaverse, it doesn't deal with trans men. It's cis men. And they have, you know,
who are sometimes but not always wolves, which is confusing to me.
Okay, let's go. Loki sounds insane but also sounds amazing at the same time. So
I sent that video to my husband's D&D group Discord with no comment, because I just wanted to see if they could figure it out. Apparently there's a very detailed Wikipedia page about Omegaverse if you want to dive into that, but James and I talked about knotting with a K. That's terminology there.
Nope, there goes our YouTube. There goes.
There goes. So this is why James is bringing up werewolves. Jackie, what do you know about dog anatomy when it comes to breeding?
Swear to God, guys, we'll get back to anime someday.
But I'm assuming you all are talking about, you know, usually they're fixed. I was trying to think of the right word.
Yeah. I guess in this, if you've ever bred dogs, they kind of get. Okay, well, my brother had a Belgian Malinois, okay? So he did, like, breed it once. And they get stuck during the process because their anatomy is twisty.
You know, like a Chinese finger trap?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
It's like that.
Yeah.
But,
why in the hell were y'all talking about this? Because of this anime?
Because this gets carried over into Omegaverse.
That's how the Omegaverse works.
So when the wolf thing was birthing...
No. They're regular guys now. They're just dudes.
They're just regular dudes, except they kind of have, like, dog anatomy in that sense.
Well, who in the fuck wrote this?
With people watching the TV show Supernatural and writing fan fiction about that, which includes werewolves.
Yeah.
So it originated with werewolves.
Okay, they're werewolves.
Now they're not necessarily werewolves all the time, but they still have like.
They're just werewolves. Dudes. They're just regular dudes.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
I have no words. I can't say anything positive or negative at this point. It's very strange.
We haven't even gotten into the pheromones and the biting yet.
Yeah, there's pheromones and biting and going into heat. All of that.
This is an anime?
No, this is a whole genre of romantic erotic fiction now.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. It's genre. In anime, it's in manga, it's in books.
The genre is two former werewolves are in a couple.
They're not always werewolves anymore. But
sometimes it's just two dudes with dog penises impregnate each other.
Okay.
And bite each other with their doggy pheromones, but they're men.
Let's talk about our favorite anime that we
watched. Yeah, yeah.
I'm following, but I'm also like, why are we here?
that I think that's normal. I guess this is just considered this like a precursor that if you ever pick up a manga, like we've got the manga guide, the spring manga guide's coming out on April 22nd. There's going to be over 75 manga reviews in it. And there's at least one of them that's called I'm an Omega, but I'm also going to be a pop star. And so now you know that if you open up the book, I'm an Omega, but I'm also a pop star, that some of these things we've been talking about may also be present in that book.
Okay. Sorry, I'm literally reading the comments and everyone is validating everything y'all are saying. Are they just
This is real.
This is real.
We're not punking you.
No.
No, literally, like, a bunch of people have validated it. Okay, well, this is a thing. I don't know if I'll ever be diving into it, but thank you for educating me on it.
And I want to clarify, too. I ain't about shaming anyone. It takes every color to make a rainbow, right? I just think it's hilarious that, like, such a weirdly specific and, by definition, kind of graphic kink is becoming really mainstream. I guess it's funny. It just means that the internet is in its weird, strange way kind of working in spreading the love, which is awesome.
Yeah. Find people, you know, like some people had these thoughts and thought they were alone. Apparently there is a whole world.
No.
Just for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen though, if this becomes like the new isekai? We get like six of these a year.
Lindsay, you might know this movie. There was this weird werewolf movie that came out when we were kids.
Okay.
And not kids. We would have been in like early high school.
Okay.
And it was like about a girl and she turned into a werewolf.
Ginger
Snaps. Loki had a crush on her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I guess I can understand the werewolf attraction.
Yeah. That seemed like one that was always there for rent. Like every time I went to go rent something, it was like, Ginger Snaps and Ginger Snaps 2 are available. And I was like, dang.
Oh, it's okay. Ginger Snaps Back.
Ginger Snaps Back was the sequel.
They got creative. Never
saw the sequel.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. There was a sequel?
Yeah. I think is there even a third one? Like, I think it did really well in rental sales. A lot of horror.
It was movies. Always right next to Wild Things. It was like that and Wild Things.
Weird.
Wild Wild Things was a weird one. I remember I was like a little lost on Wild Things.
I don't think my parents let me rent that one.
Well, that was one of those like erotic 90s thrillers, right?
Yeah.
That was not, that was not for kids.
Yeah. Not for the children. Yeah.
The main girl in Ginger Snaps is like, I don't know why. I thought she was like the coolest person alive.
I need to rewatch it. Like, I haven't revisited it as an adult at all. So it might be fun to watch now.
Definitely need to revisit that. I like have not thought about this that movie until now, because I literally am like, huh, was I ever into wolves? Was that ever a thing for me? And then I was like, no, not really. And then I was like, oh wait, Ginger Snaps.
Did y'all ever watch Underworld with Kate Beckinsale?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Obsessed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's obsessed. He like
Dustin is? Like,
yeah. And I'm like, it's an old movie. I don't understand. And he just,
I feel like Dustin and I would be like best friends. I feel like if you got us in the room together to talk about random mid 2000s movies, it would just not stop. It would never end.
It's true. I think he's around your age. He might be a little older than you, but he's like early 30s.
Yeah. No lie, when I was a teenager, my friends and I, we thought we were being very progressive in this, which just says a lot about our stupid teenage brains. But we wanted to when we were talking about how hot girls were, we wanted to talk about more than just their bodies, right?
Yeah.
And we were all obsessed with Underworld at the time. And so we came up with what we called the Beckon Scale, which was...
Dustin's cracking up, by the way.
Which was, it was, I mean, yes, you know, are they physically attractive, but are they also a badass? And do they also seem like they could hang, you know? Like... It's all in there. It's all in there in the Beckon Scale. And there was a three-tiered system, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah, we really put too much thought into it. But so James,
also to speak to like Dustin's admiration for you, he will like literally talk, like if I miss the podcast, he'll be like, James brought this up on the podcast, and he always brings up your like crazy theories and how he like thinks they're entertaining. And I'm like, why?
So, James, going back to the Beckon Scale real quick. Just going back to the Beckon Scale real quick. I'd like to know, so was Kate Beckinsale, was she like top tier on there?
Ironically,
her character from Underworld.
Her character from Underworld was like a solid 7 in every category. Well, okay, let's be real. She was like a 9 in the hot scale because of the script being, you know, it was more about killing werewolves. We gave her like a solid like 7 in the badass and the, you know, could hang out and you know, have a fun time with.
Okay.
Which was like, that's good, right? That's, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Who else around that time?
15,
oh, gosh.
Literally looks 35.
Yeah.
Even. Like, whatever she's doing to not age, I'm like, I mean, she might be supernatural, but anyway.
I will say, the first celebrity to ever get 9s across the board from me was Emma Stone in Easy A.
Okay.
I said Easy A, and I was like, I want her to be my best friend. She's the coolest person I've ever seen in my life. She doesn't care about anything. So
I was going to ask if Mila Jovovich was on there circa Resident Evil.
You know, I was a little biased against Mila because I did not like those. Well, okay. I liked Resident Evil. What's the one that takes place in the desert? Is that Apocalypse?
I feel like I only really saw like the first 3. So
whatever probably... one takes place in the desert. I liked that one, but the first 2 I did not like.
Okay.
Because I was like a huge Resident Evil head and I was like, oh, they're just riffing on the imagery of the games, but they don't know crap about the lore. But then I found out that Mila Jovovich is like really good friends with Maynard James Keenan from Tool, and they tour sometimes, and I thought that was cool. So being a man of taste now, I'd say solid 8s.
Solid 8s. Mm-hmm. Okay. Solid. Yeah, I was just wondering what the contemporaries were for Kate Beckinsale at the time. So
Emma.
Mila Jovovich, yeah.
Mila's great. I love her Fifth Element. I thought she was great as Alice in the Resident Evil movies. I always kind of like felt like Mila should have done more. Like I always felt like Mila was, I mean, she's done a lot.
Oh no, I agree. I agree now. I'm no longer, I recognize the Ari movies for the fun times that they are, but back then.
Also, like looking back, those were like horror action movies with like the strong female lead, and we weren't getting a lot of those very often. Well, actually, I'm kind of wondering if like 90s early aughts was actually kind of better about that. So we also had like Alicia Silverstone kicking ass and
Batman and Robin.
Yeah, I mean, say what you will about that movie, but I mean, she was Alicia Silverstone was like, she was cool at that point in time, I feel like.
Yeah, she got to do stuff. She got to do stuff.
Clueless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if like we're old and just like I love 90s and 2000 stuff, and I don't know if it's because it reminds me of my youth now or if it was literally just that cool. Does that make sense?
Both. No, yeah, it does.
The 2000s gave us The Matrix, literally the coolest movie ever made. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, The Matrix, like, we have not outcooled The Matrix in 25 years.
Totally.
And I don't know if we ever will.
Well, there was Mad Max Fury Road, though.
Okay, you know what? That's actually true. That's the closest.
That's a very cool movie.
Mad Max Fury Road was good, but like The Matrix like changed my life. I watched it in sixth grade, like every day.
Wow. Like,
every day. I would just watch it every day. And it wasn't, might have located a crush on Keanu Reeves, but I think it was more that like, I just was so blown away by the concept and the fighting. And like, I just thought like the whole thing was genius, the betrayal. Like,
yeah.
I was just like, that movie is like perfect. And people are like, oh, it didn't age well. I'm like,
yeah, it did. In fact, all of them did. Hot take, there are no bad Matrix movies. They're all great. Every single one of them.
That is a very hot take.
They're all great. Every single one of them.
I'm glad those movies came out. My teenage son just watched The Matrix for the first time, like on his own. I was like, this is great, because now that Keanu Reeves is playing Shadow in Sonic the Hedgehog, I could send that to him.
Casting of all freaking time.
I sent it to him and he knew who that was.
Talk about this. Because when I saw that news, I fist bumped and I said, you did good, Blur. You did good.
Idris Elba, isn't it?
Yeah.
Great. Also great casting.
Also great casting.
Like, I cannot wait to hear their voices. You know, like, I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, and Ben Schwartz as Sonic, also great.
Ben Schwartz is really funny. Go back and watch it, like, episodes of Parks and Rec with Ben Schwartz in it, and he's just hilarious. He plays
John Ralphio.
Yeah, John Ralphio, who is Henry Winkler's son in that series, and I forget the actress who plays his sister. She's really funny too. She's done a lot of voice work.
She was in she's Marcel the show with shoes on.
Yeah, she's also has a naturally like very high voice. So I think she voiced like a poodle in Secret Life of Pets and stuff like that. Like, she gets cast.
She was Mare Bellwether in Zootopia.
Yeah, she gets cast as a lot of cute little animals and stuff because her voice is like very high. But she's just like a deadbeat, give me money, daddy daughter in Parks and Rec, and she's really funny.
Aww.
Yeah, Nick, this week on the Aging Millennials After Show. Shut up.
You're damn right, son. You're damn right.
Put some respect on that.
We're old millennials, aren't we?
Yeah, we're elder millennials.
No,
yeah, I think James is like not quite elderly. I don't know if James is a young
like mid-level millennial. I think like the cutoff is like 80 something, like late 80s. Like five years before me, I think is like the cutoff.
Yeah, we're 87, Jackie and I.
I think. Yeah, because people 10 years younger than us. So, like, someone who's 27 is on the other end of millennial, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. I think so. Jackie, like, take on, is that right?
My rule of thumb is that you're a millennial if you can consciously remember life before 9/11.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
I think I was seventh grade. Was that right for us, Lindsay? Were we seventh grade?
No, eighth. It was eighth. No, 2001 was freshman year.
Yeah.
Because I remember what school I was at. I changed schools a lot. And so because I remember what school I was at, I can remember what grade it was. So anyway, now that we've touched on Omegaverse, Kate Beckinsale, and everything else, maybe let's talk about a couple of those. Anime
that Japanimations.
Yeah, that premiered this week. I think we'll save Kaiju number 8 for last. And Steve Gattuso says he consciously remembers life before Watergate. You know what? I'll give you a clap for that. Yeah. I was nowhere to be seen around the time Nixon was president. So yeah.
I remember the Watergate scene from Forrest Gump.
Yeah,
Does
me
that
too.
Count? Does that count? Okay.
No, it does not. Dustin really loves Forrest Gump too, which is, I think.
Oh no! Okay, now we're fighting. Now we can't be friends.
James said no because you like Forrest Gump.
Ask Dustin if it deserved to win Best Picture over Pulp Fiction.
Ask him what Jenny did to deserve the life she got. That's what I want to know. Zemeckis.
Dustin said Jenny's a villain. Yeah.
Jenny's a villain.
She
survived a sexually abusive household, the 60s, drug culture, and then got HIV through needle sharing in the 80s, only to die and leave her child orphaned. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Should have thought better about being some leftist revolutionary that thought she could change the world with the protest and her political activism.
And her new guitar playing.
Just be like Forrest Gump.
That she took advantage of him. I think
she did. She did. That's fair. She did. But I mean, she was just kind of looking for stability, and you know, she took advantage of Forrest Gump. That woman
went through like a lot of life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, and to be honest, during that time, I don't think that there was like therapy or healing on the level that we have now.
They would have just given her a bunch of like Xanax or something and told her to go home.
Lithium.
Lithium. yeah, for real. Okay. Yeah. Okay, no, for real. We're going to talk about anime now.
No. Yeah, we need to see how long can we go? Right, can we go like 57 minutes before we even mention an anime? That would be
amazing. Oh, very easily. I can talk tangents like for days, especially if we're on the topic of movies. I can definitely do that. But I think we're going to talk about Mysterious Disappearances. Okay, so Mysterious Disappearances, for those of you who haven't watched it, I delayed watching this one because I was like, it's probably just a week's, you know, horror series where the horror element's not really there, and the girl's got really, really, really big titties. They're real big.
Distracting.
They're like Aiken big, if you've seen.
They're large. Aiken. I'm trying to get my image up of her, which, oh my gosh, you know, the images I got, I didn't even show off her. One of them's her lane. Did you see the images I was going to share?
No, I didn't. Where did you put them?
Here, let me show them.
Okay.
I'm trying to do, I don't know how to do this. Lindsay wants me to do.
Did you see the present button at the bottom there, Jackie? There you go. You're doing it.
It doesn't look right.
No. Okay.
So here's one image.
Yes.
Not showing it off, though maybe you can see a little bit on the beanbag.
Yeah.
And then the other one I had was, nope, that's the same one. Who's the one when she turned to a kid.
Yeah, she gets shrinked. Okay. She gets shrunk. Honey, I shrunk the kid. Okay, well, that's fine. Anyone who wants to, you know, examine them for themselves can head over to Crunchyroll and search Mysterious Disappearances. It's right there in the OP. So, I mean, you'll get a sense of it right away. But regardless,
Matt and Zero just said sus images. I literally was trying to find ones that were not sus the entire
time. This is our job. When you work in the anime industry, you just got to accept that at some point or another, you've been put on a list.
Listen, I've been putting Manga Guide together, all right? We have some 18-plus titles in Manga Guide. We started doing that recently, okay? I've had to personally censor some of the cover art for these. One of them, I didn't even notice at first. It was just a beefy-looking guy cuddling a stuffed animal, like with glasses on and what looked like gym shorts and a tank top. And the gym shorts were black. But then on closer inspection, the gym shorts were very firmly around.
Real tight.
Real tight. And I was like, oh, there's a, and I had to blur that. I had to open an image program. I had to blur his diz so that I could put that on the front page of A&N, okay? And they pay me real money to do this. And I sent a message to my boss and I was like, I'm being paid to censor dicks, just so you know. Like,
and to explain them on a podcast.
And
I'm for real hard work. I would have been like, why am I doing this right now? Like, I would have been like, no. Yeah. They don't pay me enough to do this.
Yeah. So that being said, I went into Mysterious Disappearances not really expecting a lot. I thought it was going to be a fan service vehicle for Sumireko?
Yes.
I'm familiar with
Sumeriko. Yeah.
Sumeriko. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be, you know, like a lot of cheesecake of her and her like bulldozer size boobs. But
yeah, and, no, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, I thought the color design for the show is really good. I actually really like the what they got going on in the OP there. I thought the writing was actually pretty decent. I like her short, weird coworker. He's a weirdo.
And not, I didn't think he was creepy. I don't remember anything super creepy. I was kind of watching the background.
I mean, he's creepy.
He's like,
yeah, like eerie.
Not yeah, he's like spooky. On her, though.
No, I mean, he's obviously attracted to her, but he's not inappropriate towards her. Like, making
funny, though. He was like, yeah, I'll come back in 10 years and you'll be an attractive, like, mature woman or something. I forgot. Yeah. And I was like, he's funny.
You're yeah, right. I get the sense that he might also not be human. Like, yeah. He might be like a yokai or something in a human form. Like, because he keeps talking about how much older he really is than he appears, even though he's kind of like this small, youngish. Okay. Looking guy.
So what happened to her? It was like a cursed book and she read it and so she shrunk to a child and but then yeah. She read it again and she's normal. So like
yeah.
She has this ability now essentially, right?
I think she has to have the book in her possession while she reads it. And he took the book from her at the end because she doesn't have it anymore. But yeah, the idea was the book was cursed and if she read a particular cursed poem under very specific circumstances, which she did, it would shrink her. And then she had to read a different poem to get back to the right size. And so that's like the main like spooky thing that's happening in the episode. But what I really liked was all the internal stuff about her being like turning 28 and then just feeling like she was already washed up because she hasn't been able to write like an amazing novel or anything since she was young. I can relate to that.
Hell yeah, man. More adult protagonists in anime, please and thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, more protagonists who are like in their like late 20s, mid-30s, yeah. I ain't opposed to either. Yeah. But like it was kind of funny because before we came live, y'all, we were talking about how I don't know how many people in the audience are there, maybe past it, whatever your situation is, but like turning 30, like being 28, 29, right before becoming 30, even I think right after 30, it's like 20 to 32 is just like a weird time of life. Cause you're like, I should be doing more. I haven't done enough. Like, you know, and then when you're like in your early 30s, you're like, I'm old as hell. And then it's like, once you get past 32, you're like, dude, you're so young.
Yeah.
The world's your oyster. Yeah. But I think it's just a fun time. Like, it's not a fun time, but it's, like, very interesting to, like, watch it from the outside.
It's creatively, there's a lot of creative potential there for drama because it's a, you know, it's like the adult equivalent of a coming-of-age story, right? It's like that next stage of your kind of journey in life where you really settle into being an adult instead of just being a teenager with the ability to rent a car, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Counterpoint, has anyone else realized that they're actually due for like a midlife crisis?
Oh, I had to call the doctor the other day because I need to get my blood work done. You know, just, I mean, I'm not worried about anything necessarily, but I've been eating a lot of chips lately and I'm like, oh man, my sodium levels, it might be a little high.
I just got really blood work done. So, I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's one thing to be like, yeah, I'm 37. But then it's another thing when I was like on Blue Sky or something and we were talking about Lana Dunham, not my favorite person. But anyway, we're talking about her and she's the same age.
So great in Girls. Like I love the show Girls and I like looked up to her so much. And then I don't know what happened. It was like,
she's fucking weird, man. She's just, she just needs therapy and
yeah.
Yeah. It's
questionable stuff. Talking about someone who, I guess that's kind of mean. I shouldn't say that. But I mean, she had so much greatness, you know, so young. And it's like, you know, maybe for her, it's been hard because
she's got wealthy parents too. So it's like, it's another kind of like her parents are in the art world and all these other sorts of things. She had access to, you know, breaking in a little easier than some folks. But anyway, she got brought up on Blue Sky and people were saying some stuff. And then they brought up, you know, well, I mean, she seems like she's settling into midlife. Just fine. I'm like, wait, she's 37. Wait, 37 is half of, oh, fuck. I'm like halfway done.
Yeah.
Yeah, she she's our age. I just looked it up. She's 1 year older than us, but yeah.
Yeah. I was like, well, the other day I realized buy a sports car or something, right?
The guy who directed Predator 2 was 28, and then I felt really bad. I was like, oh, what? Are you kidding me?
Can I tell you?
What was I doing 4 years ago?
Lindsay's talking about a midlife crisis. Like, I've been having a midlife crisis, like, since the beginning of 2024. Like, I, like, finished writing my screenplay, which is, like, 300 pages. And now I'm, like, taking acting class and improv class. And I'm just kind of, like, doing everything I wish I had done when I was younger. And I'm, like, why didn't I do it then? You know? Mm. And I think that there's a lot of reasons why. One, I think, not to sound old, but it does sound old, like when we were growing up, it was so important, at least for me, like the way I was raised, to have like a practical job, you know. That's mm-hmm. why I went to TV news and became a TV news anchor and reporter, even though that was a horrific, hellacious way of life, you know. Respect to the people who like enjoy it, because like I did not, you know. But like, yeah, I'm just like, I wish that I, like, midlife crises are cool. It's like we're doing the things that we want.
Everyone's gonna go through one, hopefully. You know, like, ideally, you go through one.
I'm definitely going through one right now, but I'm like, I'm loving it. Like, I had the best day ever yesterday. I went to my improv class, then I went to a spa that I stumbled upon. It was like, I was like, can I get a massage? And they're like, yeah. And they like opened up the gates, and it was like an ice sauna, a hot sauna, a red light sauna, a cool bath, a hot bath. I was like, what is this place? Yeah. So that, and then I took a nap on their jade warmed floor. I was like, what is this place? And then I went to my other acting class, and I did a scene from Babylon, and it was super heavy, and my like acting teacher was like, now that was cinema, and like would like congratulate, and I was like, this is like fucking dope. So anybody watching, doesn't matter what your age is, whatever, like, go through that midlife crisis. It's fun.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying my midlife
crisis. Maybe don't turn yourself into a small child with a demon book.
Yeah, don't do that though.
You know,
that's not the way. Yeah. That's not the way to cope.
Healthy parameters, I guess.
My favorite thing to do is to spend way too much money on like snacks at the local like Chuck's. I don't know if other people have Chuck's. Everyone else have Chuck's? It's kind of like a Trader Joe's, but it's, you know, but they're not stealing things from small businesses and relabeling it as their own, like Trader Joe's does. What's that?
I used to think Trader Joe's is like really like, oh, Trader Joe's, it's like so cool, it's Trader Joe's. And now I'm like discovering that Trader Joe's is like kind of shady.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like to go to Chuck's and then just buy expensive cheese. I don't know if I'm even like,
that is the beauty of being in your 30s right there, is appreciating expensive cheeses. Let me tell you.
I get expensive cheese and then I get expensive crisps, and then I get expensive kombucha, and then I get, and I just put it all in my little paper bag, and then I take it home, and then I hoard it because I don't want to share. I'll like get my some of that like fair trade honeycomb gelato yada yada stuff and hide it in the back of the fridge because I don't want my kids to have any, because it's mine.
The other day I bought a $15 like this big jar of blueberry or blackberry vanilla preserves.
Ooh,
that's so good.
I would do that. That is something that I would do.
We are going down rabbit holes today, Mary.
We are. That's okay. That's okay. So yeah,
we missed you, Jackie. We needed to catch
up. Yeah, we need to talk about cheese.
Too. Well, I have class on Tuesday, but I guess once we settle into our anime, if you guys find one that doesn't fall on Tuesdays, you know. But I don't know if we want to switch the date and everything. We'll chat about it.
Yeah, later. We'll have to chat about it. Yeah. As far as like mysterious disappearances, though, I think I'm going to keep watching it. Actually, which I didn't expect to say when I went into it.
I'll say, I checked out a bit of the second episode, and it's pretty solid.
Does it also look good? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll check it out then. It was my least favorite out of all the ones we watched, but I thought it was good. I thought we watched a lot of good anime.
Yeah, yeah, actually, I feel like most of the stuff we've watched this season, although I've filtered out. Sorry, the sun is taking over my face. Let me fix that. Why don't you guys start talking about Grimm Variations, which is like the one that just dropped on Netflix today.
Yeah.
So I honestly, I mean, I guess from the name, I should have known where it was going, but it's another version of Cinderella.
Yeah.
And it was really unique because like I just immediately knew something was like really off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? like, and it wasn't strained from the story that much, you know, like we meet the stepmother, we meet the stepsisters are kind of shitty. But they're not like shitty. Like,
yeah,
they're just like,
I mean, they're pretty shitty.
Really? I thought they were like, we just, I don't know. Lindsay and I were both 11, 12 year old girls at one point. Like, you just do and say shitty stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They were like, just being 11, 12 year old girls to me, you know, who were like a little bratty, don't get me wrong, but they weren't doing anything where I was like, holy shit, you guys are fucking evil. They hadn't done anything.
They were like destroying her dress like they do in the movie.
Like, yeah. They took the dress and it ripped. Like, I'm sure that happened to me when I was a kid. Like, I'm sure I felt like a cousin in that same situation happened. And I don't think either of us were evil, you know?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I am because that's all I get. But anyway, so like, so I thought, and the mom was nice. Mom was not mean at all, you know? And Cinderella is just like overwhelmingly like people pleasery. And it's like, it just like, ain't like, I thought there was something wrong. Then we see her talking to her doll. You know, shit ain't right. Right. So then, I mean, sorry, I kind of stole James. James always does the synopsis. So tell me if I'm missing anything here. But basically, it is revealed that like Cinderella is basically just like playing with people. Like, and she somehow, I felt like it wasn't really a supernatural hold. It was more like a psychological hold on people. Mm-hmm. And so, like, the sisters felt afraid that she was going to hurt them or their mother. And then they...
Which she did.
Were shitty because they were like, we don't fucking like you, you know? And so they weren't nice, but, like, because they felt like they were trapped in their own home, literally trapped in their own home because the father... their stepfather was going to send them away to boarding school, and literally Cinderella like doctored the what do you call it? The paperwork.
Cut the brakes on his car, right?
So like,
what?
I thought that's what happened.
And then she kills her dad because her dad was being too generous to the girls. Lindsay, have you not seen this?
I wasn't able to watch this one.
Lindsay, speaking of 90s movies.
Wild. Yeah.
Do you remember the Macaulay Culkin, Elijah Wood classic, The Good Son?
No, actually, I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. It's the same thing. Creepy, spooky kid, manipulates everyone, does murders. But this time it's Cinderella. Cinderella's the spooky one.
No, but who out of Elijah Wood and who is the bad one?
Oh, Macaulay Culkin's the evil one.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Too predictable. Elijah Wood should have been. Because that would have been like the story. Because Cinderella looks... like you know, I think Elijah Wood looks like
But this was back like right around Home Alone days, so like the whole idea was, oh look, it's Kevin from Home Alone, but he does murders, so it's
So he had like the good I get it.
It's kind of like how Elijah Wood did Sin City after Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
did you ever see that? And he's like an evil dude in Sin City. Like a murderer.
So Lindsay, do you mind if I spoil you?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm still gonna watch it.
Basically, the sisters are like, they're bitchy, but it's like they're bitchy because they're trapped in this house, and their mother, the Cinderella, refuses to let them see their mom, and Cinderella's poisoning the mom with like.
Oh, geez. So she's just like maniacal.
Yeah, she's
full
like
on flowers in the attic levels of.
The girls get invited to go to the ball. And the sisters are like, this is our chance to get free. Like, it's like, I'm getting chills thinking of it. Because the sisters are like, we can get free from Cinderella. So they, like, are putting all this effort into trying to get the prince to like them, right?
Yeah.
They show up there. One of the sisters gets a little bit drunk. You know, like, Cinderella shows up. And then Cinderella is like, please, you guys wouldn't let me go to the ball. But, like, let me stay with you. And so everyone thinks the sisters are evil.
Yeah.
Eldest sister is like, dude, do whatever you want. And then the other sister's drunk and it's like, I hate you, Cinderella, because she really does hate Cinderella.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, the sisters are so evil. They're so bad. And like Cinderella makes it look like they're fucking evil when they're like, not really. I think they're like, they're bitchy, but they're bitchy because they like don't want to be tracked.
They're like, they're a regular everyday variety of suck where Cinderella's like she's a psychopath, like full blown. Completely unhinged psychopath.
I'm looking forward to watching this one because I've been a big fan of the Gregory Maguire books, like the Wicked play and the subsequent movie. His book is a lot different than the play, but I've read all of his Wizard of Oz books as well. He's got one on Cinderella, And he's got one on Alice in Wonderland that I haven't finished, like one on the Nutcracker, Christmas Carol. Like I've read almost and Cinderella. Yeah. And I've read most all of them. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to this just because I think it's going to be playing in the same space. So, yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I don't think I was as enthusiastic about it just because I thought the vibes were great. Like yeah. The Studio Wit is really cooking with the spooky wooky vibes. Like it is.
Oh, is this Studio Wit?
Yeah.
I forgot. Well,
it's
really
cool. And it's super scary. Like the little talking doll is like super creepy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also like, I don't know. It was just like, there was no gore. There was no monster. It was just like so scary that like Cinderella was like everybody loved Cinderella and thought Cinderella was so great, and she was literally like just making these two girls look so bad. There's one part, Lindsay, actually I'm not going to spoil that part for you, I want you to see it. Okay. But like she does stuff where like, you know, you're like, oh, she, like, because at first you're like, is she just weird? And then she does stuff and you're like, oh no, you're psycho.
Okay.
And fair warning for people, because it's only 6 episodes. First episode, there's really not any gore for the Cinderella. Episode 2, I think, is Little Red Riding Hood. Very gory.
Oh, okay.
Big gores.
All the episodes out, James?
Yeah, they're all on Netflix right now.
I'm binging that tonight.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I really like that Cinderella. And also, like, I can see why James might be lukewarm on it. Like, I think for, like, me, I grew up loving Disney, and I think I was very acquainted with, like, the Cinderella story, whether reading it, like, in fairy tale version out of a book or, like, watching the movie repeatedly. So I think, like, I have, like, an unusual attachment to that story. So I think, like, seeing that variation of it was very cool. So that's my thoughts on it.
As an addendum, I wore out our Sleeping Beauty VHS as a child. My mom, I don't have memory of doing this, but I guess between the ages of 2 and 3, I watched it like every day.
Lindsay, Aurora does not get enough credit. Like nobody likes Aurora. Nobody likes Aurora. I love Aurora.
That movie. I could start going off because like the way that they layered the cells for that movie to give a sense of depth was really revolutionary at the time. The freaking background art. And that movie is amazing. The Tchaikovsky score with Sleeping Beauty's waltz. Also, Maleficent's a good movie. And anyone who says that it's not is a liar. That was a good movie. And Lana Del Rey's cover of the main song is really good. So, anyway.
Sleeping Beauty, but nobody talks about Sleeping Beauty anymore.
Wow. Like, Maleficent's iconic.
Don't tell that to a Kingdom Hearts fan, because Maleficent is all over those games.
Yeah.
Is probably an S-tier Disney villain. Like
worms, the silhouette, the crows, which I can't recall. I thought her crows are named after the same one as Odin's, but I might be wrong. Like they're named like Mugen and something like that. Anyway, just turns it. She turns into a fucking dragon at the end. Come on.
Doing a commercial tryout. I didn't get it. It was with Disney, and they wanted me to talk about the Disney princesses I liked, and all I did was talk about all the villains that I liked. I was like, let's talk. I like said like one princess, and then I was like, but Maleficent and the Evil Queen and Cruella de Vil, and I was like, literally, I'm like, Ursula.
Ursula's amazing.
Women villains just, sorry. Like,
the way she just vamps during the song where she takes Ariel's voice.
Oh my god. Four Unfortunate Souls.
Yeah.
She's so manipulative in that song. I like love singing that song because she's just like so manipulative. But anyway. So watch Cinderella, Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that right after this.
James's take on Kaiju number 8, because I feel like he and I disagree on action a lot. So I wanna before I say how I felt about it, I wanna hear.
Wait, what? Kaiju number 8 was sick as hell. I loved every second of it.
Okay.
It was amazing.
I've only seen one.
I think the second. Is it just one?
I think so.
Maybe. I've only seen one. No, I loved it.
Okay, I was like.
Yeah, I loved it. I would watch a whole show just about the guys that have to clean up the corpses of all the kaiju that get left behind in the aftermath of kaiju fights, and the fact that he turns into a freaking skeleton monster, and gets to punch Kaiju in the face. That just makes it even better. And also, we need to, I haven't seen a lot of people talking about this. The soundtrack for Kaiju number 8 is like really sick.
They got American bands.
So good. I was like, what is this?
Yeah. And Discord I'm in, I wasn't familiar with Youngblood before this. And he's been around for longer than I was aware of. I like the song in Kaiju number 8. But he, okay, so if you look up the music video for his song called like Parents, I think is what it's called. The message of the song is really good. And, you know, it's basically about like how parents can be old fashioned. They're not always right. And kind of being true to yourself and being a little gremlin. But the music video, he's kind of in a weird diaper looking thing a lot of the time. And there's the cameras just like all over the place. And he's like got his tongue out for all of it. And he's just like walking around. He kind of looks like the Joker sometimes. And it's just, I watch him like, this is so fucking obnoxious. And that's how I know I'm old, because I'm sure that like, this is probably what my parents thought of Good Charlotte, like My Chemical Romance and shit when we were kids, that it was just like obnoxious.
We can't just put My Chemical Romance and Good Charlotte in the same tier. That's not.
Yeah, that is definitely not right. Because Good Charlotte is way below My Chemical Romance. By the way, someone said, why does Jack even like this season? I feel like there's not enough violence for her this spring. You know, it's funny. The psychological violence of Grimm Variation really did it for me. Like, I really, and James told me it gets more violent. So I'm like, really.
Oh, no. Episode 2 goes hard. It's like, it's gore. It's gore central.
That tonight for sure. And I thought Kaiju number 8 was delightful. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure you guys talked about this. I'm not really sure where you all stand. Like, I felt very mid about Solo Leveling. Dustin loves Solo Leveling. I don't know. It's like, I feel like you're either drinking the Kool-Aid on it or not. Like,
I still haven't watched the finale.
I kind of forgot we watched it until you just brought it up right now.
I was deep dive, because like I felt like it was good, but it never blew me away the whole season. I don't know. Yeah. Like I will continue to watch, because I want to, because the world building is very good in Solo Leveling. Like, I love the world, but like the rest of it has just been like,
the snake fight was cool.
The snake fight was good. That the action sequences in that show are like consistently like really good and satisfying to watch. You know, even if it's just like shut your brain off, he's stabbing stuff sort of thing going on. Wasn't a huge fan on the like edgelord personality thing that happened to him, so that didn't do a lot for me. And I do still actually need to watch the last episode. So I mean, I'll keep watching it the same way that you keep watching Sword Art Online, or how at this point I keep watching My Hero Academia. It's just
That's 100%. It's like in that category for me too.
Yeah.
But Kaiju number 8, I kind of was a little nervous about. Because I was like, is this going to be like kind of like Solo Leveling? Like, you know, just a bunch of like violins and like cool shonen vibes. I don't know. Yeah. But then it was crazy. Like the monster, the kaiju, was like really cool. I thought the main protagonist was like hilarious and adorable. Yeah. Somehow reminded me of like a hybrid of Guts, but like a very funny version of Guts, which
a more well-adjusted version of Guts.
Yeah, I guess so. But like if Guts from Berserk was like goofy and silly, because he had that like aggression, you know, because remember when he's talking to the girl and he's like, who's gonna be the coolest like defender or force I forgot what the defense forces, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, he gives me Guts vibes, but he's just like a big oaf and he's adorable, you know, but then he's brave and he like, you know, stands up for what needs to, like, you know, he told the kid with the white hair, like, get the fuck out of here, you know? Like,
yeah.
I really liked the protagonist a lot. And then that girl with the motherfucking tiger, I was like, okay, this is cool as shit, you know?
Yeah. So having a tiger weapon best friend automatically gets you 9s on the Beckon scale. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. So I'm very chill janitor Guts. Andrew, that's hilarious. I mean, that was what the vibe was for me. And I like the white-haired kid, because the white-haired kid, I was kind of like, you're an ass. But then when he came back to help the protagonist, I was like, and then you realize that the white-haired kid was just like offended
by
the Guts kid. I'm sorry, these are definitely not their names.
The main character's name is Kafka.
Kafka, how could I forget? Because I was like, oh, Kafka, Metamorphosis. Is
a little on the nose, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, and that also made me like it too, because it was like the complexity of each character, right? Like, it's like this kid with the white hair was like, okay, well, I don't like you because you're disrespecting my dream. When you say you want to quit, you are like disrespecting my dream, you know? But then when he saw that guy turn up for him, he was like, okay, like I'm here for you and I'm loyal. Like, and their personalities are just so different. So you know they're going to clash constantly. And I like love that dynamic.
I can't wait for episode 2 too, to really like dig into it more. I think it's going to be a fun ride. The Production IG is the company that's working on it. And I feel like they instilled like a lot of world building subtly into it. Like just through, there was never a point where I felt like it was just like explaining everything to me, like with some narrator or some newscaster or something. Like you just watch and you're like, all right, so this is how this world works. And I can see like, you know, like the people of this city are used to this kaiju bullshit. You know, it's not like a huge thing anymore, despite, you know, how risky it is. And I really enjoyed it, actually. So
I think I liked, what was it called?
Grimgar.
I can't see the name of it.
Oh, Yatagarasu. Yeah, we gotta talk about Yatagarasu.
I think I like that one the best.
Wow.
Again, we've talked about this before. I don't know. Like, I thought I loved Shonen and Seinen, but like suddenly I've become so, I loved Apothecary Diaries and Frieren and Delicious in Dungeon. And like, yes, Frieren and Delicious in Dungeon had their action, right? But I wouldn't say they were like heavy action.
Yeah.
Anime, you know, they're more story heavy. And I'm like, oh my God, am I a new person? Am I like having an anime midlife crisis?
Yeah.
Because I definitely like that one the best.
Yes. I really liked it too. I thought the animation was really nice all the way throughout. And usually shows that are about like political intrigue and stuff, it feels like they really skimp sometimes on the visuals for it, and the story has to carry it. But I thought the visuals were actually really nice. The character designs and everything looked great. Even though it is taking place in like this sort of fantasy version of like Japanese court, although there are these raven people and everything and all that stuff is going on, I never felt overwhelmed, which I can often feel like in shows where they're like, all right, we're getting into the politics of a country you're not from, with names you don't recognize and a political system you're not familiar with because it's completely different from your own, yada yada yada, good luck keeping track of everybody.
I didn't
have that problem with this. And as someone who's also watching Shogun, which is very good,
I need to watch it.
God, I need to catch up. I don't
watch Shogun. Oh my God, you guys, watch Shogun. It's so good.
I got a 3-day weekend coming up. I'm planning to catch up.
Yeah. This gave me Shogun vibes. I think if you like Shogun, you'll also get something out of this, because it's a similar sort of like, you know, people are all moving their pieces around and whatnot. And the drama of this episode is basically the Empress gave this girl who's vying to be the fiance of, it's not actually even her son. It's this is the son of a concubine and her husband, gave her a mean name that she didn't pick up on. And everyone's like, you know, like trying to like, sort of like, so there's all this drama around that. Go ahead.
I thought it was low key, like a compliment though, too.
It was kind of a compliment to her because it was an insult towards the emperor. It's basically saying, you're so attractive or pretty or whatever that he's too stupid to see what you're up to, and he's totally gonna fall for it. Yeah. That was kind of what it was saying. But at the same time, then it sets her up for failure because now she's referred to as that. So if the emperor does have those feelings for her and then finds out her name, he might be like, oh, well, I can't follow through with that because then I'm just playing into the stereotype that my stepmom set up. So, you know, it's just like, it's just catty shit.
But that, it's like brilliant because, so Lindsay just started Apothecary Diaries, and I love Apothecary Diaries, but like the one thing I always found a little weird about Apothecary Diaries was that like all these concubines and wives would not be vibing the way they do.
No,
like,
yeah.
In Apothecary Diaries, they all like sit and chill, which I'm sure, you know, there was always, I'm sure there were some that were chill together. But
I mean, when all you've got to do is sit around, like, I don't know. Eventually, you're probably just like, well, whatever, I guess.
I'm okay. Harem. Yeah. But I think with this one, it's like, truly, if your family's like status was at stake, which back then that was like so huge, right? Like, and you have the potential to be with the emperor, right? And then not only the emperor, right? He's like of this like race that's like very like prestige. They turn into like cool crows, which I'm like, okay, also dope, right?
Yeah.
And then these women. Oh my God, I loved all the women. I loved the southern one, and she was like, she had the dark hair and the blue eyes, and she was honest as fuck.
She's my favorite too.
Yeah, she's great.
But then I love them all. Like the redhead one is so conniving because she acts like she likes you.
Yeah.
But then she like gives you undercut compliments constantly.
She's like Queen Bee type, right? Like she was setting, she knew that the girl who was, you know, from a more rural area, and she wasn't originally supposed to be the one there. She hasn't been trained up in everything like her older sister had. She invites her to this tea party basically to give her opportunities to make herself look foolish so that they can like disregard her. But then the one in the blue, I think she's from the north. She's like laying out there and she's like got alcohol and she's just like drinking. She's like, so they're making fun of you, huh?
Yeah.
I love her. And I also loved the other one. I think it was like Shiratama or something.
Yeah.
She was like
Shirakawa, I think. She's
I can't remember. I'm so bad with names in life and in anime and everything. But like she was like I felt like she was kind of defending the other one. She was like, hey, they don't think you can hang. Like, you fucking hang, right?
Yeah.
Even when they were at the tea party and she could see that the rural princess girl, I think was like, what was it, a Kebi? Is that what they called her?
Yeah, Bisu? I think something like that.
That was it. They were like, she was going to cry. She's definitely going to cry. And so the girl like shattered her glass so they would look at her. Yeah, and I was just like low key, minus the redhead one who I like, I always love a good villain though. Cause she's kind of like giving me Cersei vibes, right? Like she's doing what she needs to do to survive in this world where it sucks. But like the best thing you can do is be a wife. Right.
Yeah.
I love that other girl is like, hey, we're the underdogs here. Like, don't go down. Don't let these girls get to you, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I just love all the dynamics at play. And I definitely team Asebi. Like, I think Asebi is like precious, adorable. Let's be honest. She's probably going to win the whole thing. Like
she's kind of the Usagi, to be
honest.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. She's so Usagi. She's so Usagi vibes. Oh my God.
Yeah. And there's also that secondary plot that's going on at the same time though. Right. Where like, the second son of one of the lords, he's kind of, you know, I think it's from the same maybe rural area.
Yeah.
Based on the preview for episode 2, he ends up kind of, I don't know, being sassy at that banquet or whatever, and he's going to end up being assigned to the not the emperor, but the emperor to be, right? And that's when we'll finally get to see the emperor, and he looks, you know, like a pretty
That's
guy.
That's the part of the story that really, so I watched the first 2 episodes because they dropped at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think I feel the same way you guys do about the show, but it took me until episode 2 to get there.
Okay.
And it was when we got that secondary plot. Cause I like the court intrigue, but I think for me, it opens like with this cool, like mythological raven, like fantasy world story. Yeah. And then other than like the one-off bit when they're like talking about horses, but they look over and it's like ravens. And
yeah, they keep talking about horses, but they're actually like ravens, they're ravens. That they all fly on. Yeah.
And then they talk about the emperor being like one of the raven people. In the first episode, it's so about Asabi's story and like her being the fish out of water that I liked it, but I was like, oh, like, I don't know. I'm not really seeing what's making this stand out from like the other court dramas that we've gotten, other than the art, which I think is very nice.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Oh, God. The girls look amazing. Like
they do.
So beautiful. I was like,
they do. But then in the second episode, once we got more of like the Raven clan and like how all of that is tying into the court intrigue and how all of these characters are going to start intersecting and connecting, that's when the wheels started to turn and I went, oh, okay, like I'm seeing what the show is doing and I'm really digging it. It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially for someone that doesn't normally like, I'm not normally a court drama kind of guy. I always want to be, I've always wanted to be someone that could get into like political, even Game of Thronesy type stories, but yeah. I just get so lost with the different factions and the who's betraying who, and you know, yeah. who's double speaking to who while also, you know, triple sneaky decoding who, like, I get confused and I get a little overwhelmed. But with this one, yeah. I think you're right. It does a good job of like keeping the world feeling manageable.
Yeah.
But then as it expands and adds more of those fantastical elements, I think it also gets really cool. So,
yeah. So long as I don't actually have to keep track of those girls' dads, I'll probably be fine.
Oh, I know.
Because they showed them all like talking around it, you know, and they're like, I can't believe that that His Highness didn't bother to show up and yada yada. And I'm like, okay, are you guys going to keep showing up? Because they look alike. They're just kind of like,
whenever you have to start making flow charts, that's when I get lost. Yeah. The minute you have to start making like family trees and like, X-ing people off the list.
The princesses are easy. They're fine. Yeah. They wear like color-coded kimono and look different enough that it's very easy for me to keep them apart. But yeah, just not,
definitely. Just the girls look very different.
Yeah.
And all gorgeous. Like, yeah. I don't know. It must be like my Sailor Moon nostalgia hitting. You know, like it's just like pretty girls in beautiful gowns. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, Lindsay, you'll probably like Grimm Variation for that too, because the women characters were like so beautifully drawn, and then they like
again, it's clamp character design, so they
I mean, it was amazing. The last one Lindsay didn't watch, right,
which was Sing Me a Love Song, Whisper Me a Love Song.
Lindsay, you're gonna love this one.
Yeah, it's cute as hell.
Yeah, I was like, this has Lindsay written all over it. James, you want to do the synopsis?
Yeah, one second, I need the character names. I'm gonna forget. Okay, so we have Himari, who is a first year high school student. And, you know, she's just all about having a good fresh start to the year. She's apparently never seen or heard of rock music before because she doesn't even like know what a bass guitar does. She seems very sheltered. But on her first day of school with her friend, she sees like at the opening ceremony thing or whatever, one of the upperclassmen bands performs a rock quartet. And the lead singer is Yori, who is the kind of tall, gray-haired, stoic one, you know, very reserved. And instantly, Himari falls like head over heels, right?
Yeah.
And the way she is kind of feeling it and interpreting it is, oh my God, I've never heard music this good. I'm so in love with her voice. But the way that she's talking about it makes it seem very much like a crush, right? Mm-hmm. And for Yori, she's in a position where she's like trying to get some inspiration for writing love songs, but she's never been in love. She's never had a crush. No one's ever had a crush on her. And so she's worried that if she tries to write love songs for her band, it's just not going to work because she doesn't have that experience. And then Himari basically starts fangirling at her and says, oh my gosh, like I fell in love with you at first sight. Like you're so, so cool. Your voice is so beautiful. And Yori, for understandable reasons, is like, oh my God, this is a love confession. I'm getting a love confession. And to the show's credit, one thing that I liked is that it's very like totally upfront about the fact that Yori is at the very least into girls.
Yeah.
And like her friends are super supportive and cute about it.
They didn't bat an eye. Like I was like, oh God. Like I was like, are they going to be like, you like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just was like, especially like, I don't know, just thinking about all the stuff that we endured when we were younger, like Sailor Moon, they literally like changed the sexes here in America. So like, I know the times have progressed, but I was kind of like, how's this going to go down? And then literally like, they didn't even bat an eye. They were like, oh, we're so happy. Ask her on a date, blah, 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 you know? And it was really nice.
And so many, even like really good, like Yuri anime kind of have a big core part of it being like the forbidden aspect or the fact that they feel like they can't be open to other people. And, you know, that's a big part of it. Right.
Yeah.
But in this show, like they're not, at least so far, that's not really a part of the drama. Like Yori does not seem like she feels that she can't be super open about having a huge giant crush on this, this freshman girl who's like fangirling over her and wanting to hear her sing. And what I also really liked is that the whole gimmick is that Himari doesn't necessarily think that she's in love with Yori. She just really likes her music. And, you know, Yori not only thinks that Himari has a crush on her, but she like instantly is like in love with her. Like she's like, oh my God, she's so beautiful and adorable. And I love everything about her. But in the first episode, like, it's not like a thing that they're going to like drag out and drag out and drag out. At the end of the first episode, Yori realizes, oh, she just meant my music. She's not actually crushing on me. Well, that's okay. Like maybe, you know, I like her and I'll play my music for her and we'll hang out. And maybe, you know, if I play my cards right, I can woo her and yeah. I can get her to feel the same way. And I really like that it's not going to like, it doesn't seem like it's going to dive into the whole miscommunication, you know, yeah. misunderstandings. Like from the get-go, it's like, all right, I'm super into this girl. She seems into me, but she maybe, you know, doesn't necessarily know how she feels about girls or things like that yet. So I'm just going to be her friend and sing her songs and we'll see where this goes. And I thought that was really refreshing.
Yeah.
It was super cute. It was super refreshing. Like, I'm like, I don't know. I just like loved it. Remember we were watching A Sign of Affection and like, for some reason, like I didn't love the guy.
Mr. Hand on Head.
Yeah. And some people love that show. Like I think we actually voted it best of that season. Like,
yeah, it was one of, yeah, it was,
so I never dived in all the way, but like this one, I was like, dang, like I love both of the like partners. Like I love both of the romantic interests here, you know, like I thought the pink haired girl was like adorable and like just enthusiastic and like bubbly, and then the other one is like like a little bit like colder and stoic, but like also the inner monologue was just like so cute, like you know, like she was just like so shy, but like and not like shy, but just like shy about that whole situation and nervous about it, and like it just reminded me of just like young love when you saw a person and you guys had a connection, you're like, we're in love, and like that makes no sense now. But it was just, and it wasn't like bad though, it was just like just
cute. Pure.
So they have the chemistry, which is so important in a show like this.
So I was like, I kind of liked it. The one thing I'm like, I really like Kaiju number 8. I really like Grim Variation, which I guess I'll binge tonight and then be done with. But I really like that one with the Y. So I'm just like, will it keep me from watching the other ones? Because you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I usually end, I settle on like 2 or 3 that I like pretty like into. Like, I think I guess it was 3 last season because it was Apothecary Diaries, Furin, and Delicious in Dungeon. But like, I had a bunch of other ones and they all just like fell off of me.
Yeah, I'm usually a 3 to 4. I mean, James does more because I pay him to. But
Well, I usually end up, I mean, if I'm reviewing 4 shows, I watch 4 shows. And then if I can find the time, I maybe fit in like another one with my wife. But any more than that, I agree with you guys. It's hard to. I've never understood. I don't think it's as common anymore, but I remember back in the day, if you were ever on like the anime subreddits or on MAL, there are these people whose like their identity was that they watched everything, every episode, every show. And I was just like, how in the hell? How can you even keep the character straight at that point? Yeah. I was just confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for me, well, you never know, right? Because like, an anime can go south so fast, right? But I'm definitely putting the Y one at the top for me. There's a second episode, so I get to watch that too. Then I would, and the only reason I put the Y before Kaiju number 8, it was just like it hit everything for me. It had like the great world building, really interesting characters. They all had like very unique personalities. There was like the political intrigue. The animation was beautiful. Like it just like hit so many for me. And then historical drama. Like I was just
yeah.
And then like drama on top of that, like girl drama. I was like, okay. Yeah. So that one was great. It didn't have any action, which is weird, but that's top of my list. And then I would put Kaiju number 8, and then I put Grim Variation. So like, I don't know, Grim Variation, I might just binge tonight. So I'll have to see if Mysterious Disappearances.
Well, keep in mind that every episode of Grimm is like 40 minutes long, so.
Was Cinderella that long?
Mm-hmm. That just shows that it was really good if you didn't notice.
Yeah. But it was going quick for me because I really liked it.
Yeah. It doesn't feel, it is not one of those double length premieres that makes you mad. It's very, the length is good, but
Yeah.
That is like 5 solid hours of Grimm's.
Yeah. What are you guys thinking? What are your, like, I mean,
I'm definitely going to keep up with Yatagarasu. I'll probably watch the second episode. I'm going to watch the second episode of Mysterious Disappearances too. And I'm definitely going to watch Kaiju number 8. And I'll probably like watch all of Grimm Variations over like the weekend or something, kind of split it up since they are longer. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I'm watching based on preview guide. Not really off the top of my head.
Those the ones that we are watching though, like,
yeah,
I was surprised. Like, they're all strong stars.
Yeah, I feel like moving forward, we should probably like talk about on the show Kaiju number 8 and Yatagarasu, because I feel like Kaiju number 8's one of those shows where it could have slow episodes. There's nothing to talk about. That's what keeps happening when we pick up the action ones. It's like, okay, there was a fight scene, you know, and it was good. But then there's no like stuff to dig into. But I feel like Yatagarasu is going to have stuff to dig into.
And if we want, throw Grimm Variation as we get through it.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I get to share weekly pictures of my homie from Yokai-san, then we will
check in with James's adventures in Tonari no Yokai-san, which is this adorable show, Jackie, if you haven't got a chance to watch it. I mean, it's very mellow at first, like kind of family drama mellow where there are yokai. But there is some sort of weird, like, underlying mystery at the end of episode 1, and I haven't watched the newer episodes yet, James, where, I don't know, some people are just kind of disappearing in town or something.
Yeah, there's
like
some,
that, right?
There's some spookums going on. There's some spookums happening.
Yeah.
But also there's a cat who wears a hat and he's perfect and good. And I will devote at least a couple of minutes every week.
Let me pull up our hat boy here. I've got to still have
Jackie,
that here.
You need to see him. You need to see him.
This is James's best friend.
I was trying to find it, but I couldn't spell it, so I was like, ah, fucked up.
That's okay. I got you. This is the cat that wears a hat in Tamarindo.
Buccio!
His name's Buccio, and he's just a shy boy who's recently become able to talk because he lived for 20 years, and he's just the sweetest boy.
Yeah, that's so cute. He wants to live a quiet, non-embarrassing life, and he wants to do his family proud, and he wants to get his damn paperwork done. And if that's not the most relatable existence, I don't know what is.
Have you guys watched Fallout at all?
No, I gotta finish Shogun, and then I'm gonna move on to Fallout, Jackie.
Watch Fallout.
It's good. I saw your Instagram thing where you called the phone number and people screamed at you.
Yeah, it's fucking good. Like, honestly, probably one of the better shows I've seen in a long time.
What if you haven't played any of the games? Is it still really good?
I played it when I was younger and, like, vaguely remember it. Dustin's obsessed, played every single game, like, knows it on a different level, like an expert, you know? And we both really enjoyed it.
Okay.
But I don't think you need to know the games at all.
Okay.
One of my friends watched it and he was like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. I don't know any of this stuff, you know? It's insane.
What streaming service is it on?
It's Amazon.
Amazon,
okay. I got that one.
I feel like your husband's going to love it too. Like, I feel like
he's played the game. So, I mean, I know he's been talking with friends about it.
Yet?
No, I don't think so. I'll watch it with him.
Girl, y'all need to watch it together if you played the games. He's going to lose it.
Yeah.
But I think it's very much like an anime. Like, it's like campy, it's gory, but it's also like heartfelt as fuck and like got politics and these different wild worlds and they all come and monster. Like, honestly, it's like amazing.
It's amazing. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I know we don't talk about anime, or we don't talk about non-anime on here often, but like, I'm like, that show is dope. Yeah.
There is one thing I want us to do before we sound off, because we haven't done it in a while, and it's Delicious in Dungeon Food. Would you eat it? And I want to do it while Jackie's here. From the most recent episode.
All right, let's go.
I'm just pulling up a screenshot of it. Would you eat? Oh God, can I zoom in?
God in heaven. What?
Would you eat it? Would you eat?
No.
Would you eat? No.
A fucking face.
No.
It's a pumpkin. It's just
that's
like
a human ass face.
Dude, that's like fucked up. That's like really fucked.
No.
Sorry, no. That is like so disturbing. Could they at least like cover his face? Like, why would you show the face?
Are you gonna put a shroud on it, Jackie? Are you gonna lay a cloth over it while you eat its brains?
it would have made me feel a little better about it. Like that, like having it staring at you, I would be like, I can't do this.
At that point, you need to put the shroud over your whole head, like that dish with the little bird that gets drowned in vermouth.
So
just turn it around.
Just turn it. So okay. If I remember correctly, because it's been a minute since I watched the episode, they don't talk or anything, so it's not like they were, you know, like sentient. I think before they
face looking at me. I could but does never...
Can the face move? Can it blink? Can it like make no, expressions?
I don't think so.
Oh my god, what if like the nerves were still in it and it was just like blinking?
I don't think it has any nerves or anything. It's fruit. So it's like this is a fruit with just kind of a face on it, and they just harvest it. And you know, it is, I think
the face is too weird, man. I couldn't.
I would eat it if I didn't have to look at it then. Like, I don't want that bowl there. Get that out of there, please.
So, like, if they served you it in the wooden bowls that you see here, but, like, the actual head was nowhere, would you eat it?
Sure, I guess. If it can't talk, and if it can't, like, make faces that I can think about while eating, then sure, I guess. But under duress, and not, this would not be my go-to.
No.
Yeah. But on the other hand, though, pumpkin soup is good.
Yeah, squash soup is really good. Yeah, think of it like a bread bowl.
Answer. No, Nick, that's not a bread bowl, man. That's a face. All right, yeah. That's a face that's looking right at you. I can't do faces. I don't like faces. I'm on the record. If it has a face and can look at me, then it is not all right.
Yeah, it's out. What's the next one?
James B. points out that, I mean, essentially, like, chops the pumpkin head and the pumpkin doesn't react. So, like, it doesn't have any kind of facial reactions. It just looks like that. And
I'm going to make it worse. That makes it, now it's like a dead face. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if there is a next. That was just the most recent episode.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it. I just wanted to throw that in there at the end. For those who are curious, in Japan, they are manufacturing soup bowls that look just like that pumpkin guy, so you can put your own soup in his head and eat it.
God help us all. This is what happens when we let capitalism run rampant. This is what happens.
Disturbing, to be honest, but it's okay. You know, do you, like we said, people like wolf fan.
Some people like nodding, some people like pumpkin face bread bowls. It's a wide world out there. People like both at the same time, I'm sure.
I just, you know what? I would buy the ceramics of this and use it around Halloween. I think that would be fun. I think that would be a fun decoration. Put popcorn in it or something and eat. No? No
one? If it was like a skeleton face or like a goblin face, but just a dude. Like, I don't want to just look like
dude. He's a pumpkin.
Like Joe from accounting. Like, oh, hey, that's freaking Greg. Like, that's
Joe from accounting. It's just Joe from accounting. As a pumpkin. All right.
Joe from accounting was an unsettling guy, even in life.
By the way, you guys, I really missed the podcast with y'all. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. My acting classes are conflicting right now, but we'll figure it out. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, but it was good to be on with y'all.
Yeah, it was good to see you again, Jackie. And we'll figure something out. Sorry, I'm like leaning at my light that is making me not look like I'm disappearing is also blocking the buttons in StreamYard, so I can't see anything that I'm clicking. So every time you see me like doing this, it's because I'm trying to peek around my ring light.
Oh,
so.
This mic. I was like, I'm trying to like do stuff around this mic.
We're like,
yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Probably Tuesday, but we'll check in because I want Jackie on those Yatagarasu chats with us. So all right, thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll be back next week on Sunday at 6 p.m
bye, bye.
'Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.